Hello, welcome to Off Curve. I am Wicked Good, and I am talking to you about Hearthstone while I am, well, you probably figured out I'm not in the car. I'm not driving home. I have the day off again today. I actually have a lot of vacation time I need to use because I've been at my job a long time, and they changed the way they're letting us carry over vacation, so I'm burning some of it off this week. And it's a pretty good week to do it because we are getting some balance changes, and I know that that's what you want to listen to. Or you want to hear about. So I will keep my week short and really because there's not a whole lot to talk about. I'm still kind of bouncing between 4 and 3. I was playing Death Rattle Hunter. I kind of got frustrated with Rexxar being as much of a swing card as it was. And then I've been trying some things like Mally Ghost Druid. I've been trying Taunt Druid. I played some Spiteful Warlock on stream. I'm back to switching decks again just because I feel like the games that you win with Rexxar are because of Rexxar, and if you don't draw it, it feels awful, the same way that Call to Arms did. So, I'm getting kind of frustrated with the draw variants in that deck, but, you know, it's all good, because we're going to have a new meta in a few days. How different that meta is going to be is going to be up for debate, and that's what we'll talk about today. But, you know, all things considered, I'm not dissatisfied. Like, I didn't really lose too much ground. I had a couple times where I dipped and kind of, you know, lost a few games in a row and then I got them back. So I've been kind of floating around rank 3, just trying to keep my head above water. I keep bouncing between 3 and 4. So hopefully a new meta will be kind of good for me to be able to shake it up, because I think I just feel like I just can't get the hang of this meta, but that's fine. But anyway, we're going to cut the intro short because we have some nerfs to talk about. Not too many. Not as many as we kind of thought there would be. And I guess what I want to talk about before we talk about the nerfs themselves is kind of the way that they were handled. And this feels like a transition time for Team 5. And I really think they mishandled the way that they rolled out these nerfs. Now, we'll talk about the individual nerfs and the card changes. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the way it was communicated. Like, the Into the Works announcement really made it feel like when they say they're looking at it, it made it feel like that was the last opportunity for nerfs because it was mid-cycle. And I think that there needs to be a little bit more clear expectation about when we're going to see nerf announcements, if and when we're going to see them. But this whole announcement of an announcement thing is not working for them. Like, basically the way that we all kind of went through, and I think one of the reasons that this feels as bad as it does right now is that we had a meta that we could all feel there was something wrong with, but we were pretty sure Giggling Inventor was the cause, but we weren't sure. They came out, put out the In the Works update and said, well, we're looking at Giggling Inventor, but we're not making any meta changes. And a lot of us kind of took that to mean at all until the next expansion. Myself included, by the way. I'm not taking myself out of this. Like, I felt that way too. Because if there wasn't enough evidence to justify a nerf then, what would change? And I don't know exactly what changed, to be honest. It's because nothing really seems that much different than it did a month ago. And if anything, like Giggly Inventor, I think it was going to be played a lot in the playoffs. It didn't change that much in championships. So I don't know what changed that made them want to make the change now, but I'm fine that they are. But I think that the fact that then we had the announcement on Thursday saying, oh, by the way, we're going to be making balance changes and more to come and more will be announced on Monday. So we all go through the weekend watching HCT championships, waiting for this announcement to come. And then it comes and they're only changing 3 cards, one of which is a wild exclusive card. And we all kind of look at each other like, why were we getting ourselves all worked up for that? And I think that's the problem with the way that they are handling the rollout. Like, I don't think you need an announcement of announcement. Just make an announcement today. You're already saying it's going to be on Thursday. You don't need to tell us that a change is coming. Just tell us that the change is here. You don't need to tell us that there's going to be a change coming and you're going to tell us about it in a few days. That's like somebody leaving a message on your answering machine saying we need to talk. Right? Because that gives everybody the whole weekend to go through and come up with, like, and I'm not, this is not a criticism at all. I think this is actually a really great idea, but Swagoi Gaming was doing a Guess the Nerfs contest. They would basically use Smash GG's Fantasy Sports infrastructure, and they made a Guess the Nerfs game out of it. And I think that was a great idea. That's something that Team 5 never should have allowed to happen. Not because, I'm not saying they should shut it down. I'm saying that they should have just said, okay, we're making changes, and here they are, and they're going to be live on Thursday. Like, don't tell us that changes are coming and then not tell us what they are, because that just lets our imaginations run wild. Like, I had a whole, like, laundry list of things I would have liked to see. There's no reason that we had to go through that, because if you're not expecting anything, you can't be disappointed. Right? So we all went through thinking, okay, finally, this is going to solve the meta. We see these two changes, and it's like, well, what did that do? And so, and I mean, to some extent, we go through this with every set of nerfs, because they're never as much as everybody wants. And I mean, you know, there's always the things like, well, we need to send this card to the Hall of Fame, and they need to make Wild Growth 3 mana, and we need to just nerf this card into Oblivion, and it never works out that way. Like, Blizzard doesn't nerf cards that drastically anymore. They learned their lesson from the Warsong Commander nerf, and really, you don't want that, right? Like, we learned from the Warsong Commander nerf, you do not want cards to be nerfed into the ground and completely changed the way that they are. Blizzard is much more likely to be changing numbers on cards than words, which is exactly what they did here. They changed words, they didn't change numbers. Or vice versa, rather. They changed numbers, they didn't change words. So I really think, I hope that Team 5 is going to learn from this. Like, don't, like, yes, more communication is good, but that needs to be meaningful communication. Telling us that something's coming and then not telling what it is and let our imaginations run wild is not a good thing. But anyway, that's enough of that. Right, so let's talk about the nerfs. So there's, I want to start with the Aviana first, because it's, the wild change is probably going to get the least attention, and I think it's the most significant, at least for that format, and I want to talk about that first specifically, and then I'll go back to the other two that are for standard. So Aviana is going from 9 mana to 10 mana. This is, if you follow me on Twitter, you would see this is something that I announced, that I said I would love for that to see them do, and it makes a lot of sense now. I think that a lot of the problem with the wild ladder right now, and not with wild, and I really want to clarify this, because if you watch any of, like, the Into the Wild tournament series, or you watch any of the things that Team One Trick puts out or whatever, you'll see that there's actually a lot of good diversity in Wild. I've been playing some Wild Ladder this week, and it's been actually a lot of fun. There have not been that many Starliner Druids, all things considered. But those decks warp the meta the same way that Naga Sea Witch did. And the only reason we didn't see it before is because Naga Sea Witch was a thing before, and Aviana decks were viable, but they weren't everywhere. And then the combination of Starliner and Juicy Psychmelon kind of brought that to the forefront. So, I mean, we've had Aviana decks for a long time. They've been kind of a staple in Wild since the rotation of Mean Streets of Gadgetzan, going from Maligos to Togwaggle to Starliner, and there are some other weird ones. There was one I was playing once that had a combo with Ragnaros and Carnivorous Cubes and Deathwing. Carnivorous Cubes and Faceless Manipulator and Deathwing. So you play Deathwing, and then all of a sudden you burst your opponent in the face for like 32 with all the Ragnarai. It was fun. We've had a lot of those decks. It's not fun anymore. Like, I think that, you know, if the goal for Wild is to be, it's a place where you can go play all your favorite decks from the past, whether or not they've changed or not, right? Like, obviously, you're going to be putting in newer cards because they improve them. You really can't have a deck like this that has a one-turn kill combo that ends the game before, like, turn 10. Right? Like, consistently. Like, there needs to be some variance. You need to feel like you have a chance in those games. And a lot of the times, if you're playing a deck that doesn't line up well enough against Starliner or Togwaggle, even if you draw a dirty rat or a Deathlord, it's not guaranteed to do anything. That's the problem. There's no, like, guarantee counterplay. So basically what this will do is this is going to limit the consistency of those decks while still making them playable. You're going to need something else to be able to do the Aviana Kun combo now. It's going to need to be an Innervate or something else to get you that additional mana to be able to play Kun and refresh your mana crystals. And Juicy Psychmelon is not going to pull both of those in one turn. You will have to play both copies of Juicy Psychmelon to get both of them. So I think that will really address it. Like, you don't need to change Juicy Psychmelon, really, because it's really only good in that specific deck. And that specific deck, because it fetched Aviana and Kun and then whatever other 7 and 8 card cost cards you were using in order to get the combo off. So making it so that once Juicy Psychmelon doesn't pull both of those will reduce the consistency, and then you still need to draw your copy of Innervate or whatever else it happens to be, or get a twig to break or whatever in order to get the combo off. So I really like this. I think this will help Wild a lot. And I think this is a positive change overall for that community. And I'm glad to see them nerfing another Wild specific card. Like, we saw this with Naga Sea Witch, but seeing them actually addressing Wild balance is, it's a whole topic for a whole other show about what should you be doing with Wild. I think that if you don't play Wild, you're sometimes, I understand people who play Standard only not wanting cards to be changed that affect Standard because Wild is broken. I get it. That doesn't mean that you leave Wild alone to its own devices. I think that it is healthy to be taking a look at Wild and seeing if there are cards in Wild that are just have gotten too powerful with the addition of too many new cards, and address those accordingly. So I'm really happy about the Aviana nerf. And then the two Standard nerfs that we got are Giggling Inventor is going up to 7 mana from 5. And Mana Worm is going up to 2 mana from 1. And that's it. And so Giggling Inventor going to 7 mana is, it's effectively nerfing into the ground. It's kind of, I mean, it's not. It's effectively like the Carter Creeper nerf. And I think, like the Carter Creeper nerf, it will see play, but not everywhere. I think that what we've seen is when we have neutral cards that are ubiquitous, it's not good for the game. It makes everything seem samey. And in this case, it's slowing down the games significantly, and it's reducing the effectiveness of aggro decks, which is also slowing down the games. So, you know, ideally, 7 mana, first of all, does not allow it to go into even decks, where at 6 mana, you'd probably still play it, and you'd probably play something like, you know, like Even Shaman or Even Warlock, even, would play that at 6 mana. I don't think that's unreasonable. I mean, if Bone Mare's seeing play at 8 and Corridor Creeper's seeing play as a 2-5, then Giggling Inventor's going to see play at 6 mana. At 7 mana, it's a little bit more niche. It might still see some play. I'm not sure. I think that it still will be an option. I don't know where you'd want to play it, but I think that what's good about this is removing Giggling Inventor from being ubiquitous effectively opens up the decks to actually play with 30 cards. Because before, you were playing with 28 cards and then either 2 copies of Giggling Inventor, 2 copies of Blood Knight, or 2 copies of Mossy Heart for the most part. Or you know, 1-1 or whatever. Or you had some way to deal with Giggling Inventor. So I think that making it less ubiquitous and making it less of a card that you have to have an answer for, you just lose, will make this a little bit more appealing. It will open, also, what it will do is open up aggro decks. Because aggro decks typically would have a real problem getting through if you don't draw exactly your one copy of Mossy Horror, which is pretty much all you could afford to put in the deck. Like, Zoo is running Mossy Horror. That's not right. So now it will provide aggro an opportunity to actually win more of those games, which will make the rest of the meta change as a result. Like, if you are seeing more aggro, maybe some of the Druid decks aren't as good. Maybe Token Druid isn't great. Maybe Maligos Druid doesn't have enough time to get set up. Maybe Togwaggle Druid just gets run over before it can draw its whole deck, right? Like, there are, every time you have a meta change, it's an ecosystem. And one effect has ripple effects, because not only does it change the decks that were running the card, it changes the decks that were contesting that card. And it changes the decks that were no longer viable because that card was in the meta. So you may see some other decks that really just couldn't punch through a bunch of taunts become viable because they don't need to deal with Giggling Inventor anymore. That's another thing that's a possibility. So I have been looking at Twitter, and my initial reaction, my hot take, was admittedly not great. But I've been seeing a lot of discussion about, well, what's going to change if you're just changing that one card? Well, a lot. If you have one card that's in a lot of lists, a lot can change. And I don't think that you need to change everything all at once. This seems underwhelming. This and the Mana Worm change seem underwhelming. I will grant you that 100%. I think that the idea of making changes like this is that you really want to try not to change too much all at once, because it's the more you change, the less predictable it gets for the development team. Like, you're changing things to, I think that the way that they approach nerfs, and I, this could be completely wrong, this is speculation right now, is that they go into it thinking that one thing is the problem, right? Like, let's go back to the last set of nerfs. Let's go in with the theory that Call to Arms was the problem, right? So you change Call to Arms, you make it 5 mana, you take it out of even Paladin. And then you see, well, what do the rest of the decks do? And then if there's another deck because there's always going to be, something's going to fill that void, right? Like, it's not just like, well, these decks are going to go down, and so everything, the power level is just going to consistently stay down. Like, other decks are going to rise up to take out the ones that were affected by it. So, like, Call to Arms got nerfed, but then, okay, well, Warlock's too powerful now. So now we need to address Warlock. Well, okay, so we've addressed Warlock. Now we have this other thing that we need to change. I don't even remember what was changed in that patch because it was a while ago. Or, like, you know, well, you were changing Spreading Plague and Innervate, the meta before that. And then, okay, but we do that, but now Fiery War Axe is too powerful because Pyro Warrior's too good. So now we need to nerf Fiery War Axe. And then that leads us to having to change Raza the Chained, because then Raza Priest is everywhere. Like, you know, it's not just like there's one problem. And that even if you fix that one problem, sometimes you have to adjust more things. So I think the fact that there are fewer changes here imply that Giggling Inventor really was the problem, and that taking the power level down from it will kind of reset everything without having to deal with another deck or two that's really going to come up and be oppressive. It could be, we don't know, right? But that seems to be what this is implying to me. So that brings us to the other change, which is Mana Worm, which is going from 1 to 2. And this is something I'm really surprised has taken them as long as it has. And especially because, like, Secret Mage has been a thing, both in Standard and Wild, for a really long time. In a Secret Mage, and before that, Tempo Mage, and, you know, before and after Alaneth. It's been a thing for a while. And I'm really surprised that it's taken them this long to kind of address Mana Worm. Because it's one of those cards that can just kind of spiral out of control really early. Now, I do wonder if this was the one thing that they found when they were changing Giggling Inventor. Because the question's always going to be, why now, right? Like, why has Mana Worm been a card since Classic? It's always been this way. It's always kind of been a problem. And why are you changing this card now? And I imagine the answer is, well, Aggro Mage is already decent, and if you play it now, and if you play it after Giggling Inventor is changed, and there's not really a way to block out that damage, then Mana Worm just becomes a terror of the meta. And so they're making a small change to it to bring it down to 2 mana that will help with, I mean, and the difference between 1 and 2 mana is a lot bigger than people realize. I forget, it's probably Blister Guy who said this, because it's smart, it sounds smart, and it sounds like something he would say. But, you know, you're doubling the cost of the mana. Like, it's not a small change to go from 1 to 2 mana, because the difference is, like, 1 mana is something that you typically float in a turn, whereas 2 mana you actually have to actively commit to, because you're passing up a hero power or something like that. Like, we saw that, there was something that went from 1 to 2. Oh, it was Spirit Claws. Spirit Claws was one of the things that was changed right before Midrange Shaman became a thing in Karazhan. And it was originally a 1 mana weapon, and then it went to 2. And the difference between 1 and 2 mana is huge, because, you know, for Spirit Claws, it was a matter of, well, I can play my Spirit Claws on 1 and then totem on 2, and then I can get spell damage and hit you in the face with it. With Mana Worm, it's, okay, well, I can play Mana Worm on 1 and then coin Arcane Missiles. Or play it on 1 and then Frostbolt you on 2. And now it's going to be, well, I'm going to have to use the coin to get the Mana Worm out quickly. Like, I think it makes a significant change to that deck. It's probably a good thing. I think the worry is that Quest Rogue was not touched other than Giggling Inventors. The question really is going to become how much of Quest Rogue's performance is due to Giggling Inventor. I think it's a lot because, you know, like when you get the door slammed on you by Quest Rogue is usually when Giggling Inventor comes down, especially because if they can keep bouncing the 2-1, then they can just keep putting all those 4-4s on the board. And by the way, they can play two of them in a turn, or they can play two of them with Valera. So now they can, they can't even Giggling Shadow Step Giggling, because that would be 12 mana, I think. 7 plus 5 is 12. Math is hard, kids. So you can't even Shadow Step Giggling Shadow Step Giggling anymore. So at most you can play one a turn, and you can't go infinite with, well, you can't, you couldn't really go infinite with Giggling and Zola before anyway. But you can't just keep playing a Giggling, you know, to multiple Gigglings and just fill up a board with 4/4s that most of them have Divine Shield. Will Quest Rogue still play it? I don't know. I don't know, because 7 mana is a lot. And is it going to be enough to keep Quest Rogue, you know, is it still going to be viable with 7 mana Giggling Inventor? That's really the question. I don't know. I'm guessing the answer to this is no. Because if the answer to that was yes, then you would not touch the one, like, true counter to Quest Rogue. Like, the only thing that's keeping Quest Rogue down now is the fact that Aggro Mage is fairly popular. So the fact that they're willing to make this change now says to me that this deck would be really oppressive if they don't do that. And the only reason you let it live is if it's keeping down Quest Rogue, the way that you, like, let a spider live in your house because you're, or not live in your house, but, like, you don't kill a spider because it's eating more, you know, problematic bugs, right? So I don't know what to think of the Mana Worm change, but I feel like that's a positive sign that they're changing that. Because if they're changing that, that means that Quest Rogue is not good enough that they feel comfortable making that change now. And it will bring Aggro Mage into line. And I think that Aggro Mage is one of those decks that just feels like very Feast or Famine, but when it gets started, it's really hard to stop it. And so slowing it down a little bit, especially in the absence of a Giggling Inventor that could soak some of that minion damage, is a good thing that will be healthy for the meta. So the obvious question that's going to come up is, well, what should you be playing next, right? Because we know that it looks like Quest Rogue's going to be going down a bit. Looks like Aggro Mage is going to be going down a bit. Looks like Giggling Inventor is going to be going out. What kinds of decks should you be looking at? And I don't know that the actual decks are going to change. I would say that Token Druid is probably going to take a big hit. So I mean, I guess if we look at the Vicious Syndicate stats, right? And I'm saying that, look at me. This is what happens when I'm not recording from my car. I can actually go and, like, bring up a webpage and look at something to reference while I'm talking. Is this what real podcasters feel like? Like, I don't know. Anyway, let me bring up the Vicious Syndicate stats, right? So let's look at rank 4 to Legend. And so we'll look at Token Druid. And Token Druid's worst matchups would be, well, Togwaggle Druid, fine, okay. Either Hunter, so Deathrattle Hunter or Secret Hunter. Odd Paladin, it was very good against. Resurrect Priest, but that's, like, everything's good against Resurrect Priest, so whatever. Odd Rogue, it was very good against. Even Shaman, Midrange Shaman, Shudderwalk Shaman, Odd Warrior. Like, Token Druid was good against most of the meta. And then if we're going to go under the assumption that Quest Rogue and Alaneth Mage are going to be, going to be taking a hit, then Taunt Druid, Token Druid will ignore because that's going down, right? So Taunt Druid, Quest Rogue is going to be taking a hit too. Shudderwalk Shaman and Even Warlock. So Even Warlock might is something that you really wouldn't have been affected by anything. That's a deck that you should probably still be looking at. Shudderwalk Shaman also wouldn't have been affected by anything. That may get hit by there being more aggro in the format. So that's a little bit more dicey. I know that the Even Warlock matchup against Alaneth Mage was terrible, and so was Questrogue. And if both of those are getting hit, then that can only really be a good thing. And then if you look at Questrogue, assuming that that's getting hit right, Malygos Druid, Togwaggle Druid, Secret, Cube Hunter, Even Warlock, and Odd Warrior. So I guess what I would say is that Deathrattle Hunter, Even Warlock, I mean, these are decks you probably would be playing anyway. Shudderwalk Shaman may be something that is a little bit better. It's going to be a matter of like what the Odd Rogue turn into. Zoo is probably going to get better also, because Zoo is not going to be running into Giggling Inventors, and Zoo is already preying on a lot of those decks. So Zoo is probably a deck that you're going to want to look at. I would say keep an open mind, right? Because this is something that I don't think we've seen since like a rotation, a card that was this ubiquitous getting an across the board nerf. So, I mean, maybe we have. I'm trying to think back to some of the older nerfs. But those were typically targeting classes, not cards that were just generally good. So I think that it might still be, whatever you're wanting to play, with a couple of exceptions like Token Druid and Aggro Mage and Quest Rogue, are probably going to be just as good. It's just going to be a matter of what you're putting in that slot for Giggling Inventor. Maybe that opens things up. Ridiculous Hat and I were talking about Cobalt Scalebane today. I don't think that's the answer. But there may be other cards that are there that we can start looking at, right? Like, the thing with the Boomsday Project is that it felt like a lot of the cards were not viable, right? Like, they just got shut down a lot of strategies. So maybe Magnetic is something that starts, being something that you can start looking at. Like, I think that it's always worth experimenting with some of those, with some of the archetypes that weren't quite there. So maybe that's something that can be looked at. Like, maybe... Deathrattle Hunter doesn't really run Giggling Inventor anymore anyway. I don't know. I'm looking through the five cost cards from Boomsday. Zilliax is pretty much everywhere anyway. Rusty Recycler is not really great enough. There are other cards that maybe can fit in there at the 4 and 6 slots. Maybe there's going to be something else that's going to be popping into the meta. It's kind of hard to say. But I would say just keep an open mind, but I would say that you probably want to be moving away from Token Druid and Quest Rogue and Aggro Mage and look at some of the other archetypes that haven't really gotten a ton of love. I think that there's probably some room for a Control Paladin. Even Paladin is starting to come up, and that's starting to become intriguing. There's this Resurrect Priest that people are still experimenting with. Maybe this is enough to get it there, right? So, like, I would say if you're looking at these nerfs and you're disappointed and you feel like they don't go far enough, I would just try to keep an open mind. Like, I'm happier to see them changing fewer things than more, because yes, there are problems in the game that are beyond just these three cards, but I feel like I would rather they try to make smaller changes and understand what the impact of their changes are so that they can learn how to make better nerfs and better cards for the future, right? Like, the damage is done. What we're trying to do is we're trying to mitigate it now and make it more fun for the short term. But long term, I want them to be able to make those changes, see the results, and then use that input to make it so that we're not getting another Giggling Inventor, right? That's the goal. So, and ultimately, my feeling is that the other thing that's possible that we don't have vision into is that we're getting a new announcement of a new set at BlizzCon in a month. Actually, it's less than a month. It's like 2 weeks or 3 weeks now. And so we're going to get that set in December. It's entirely possible that the problems we're having right now get wiped out by that set. Typically, the set that is announced at BlizzCon, the third set in the year, is the most powerful. It's got the most power creep. It may be that these things are going to look quaint in a month. So, you know, that being the case, we may not want them to nerf all those cards because we may need those to keep the meta balance, especially because that's what they've been balancing that set against, right? They've been balancing that set against all these cards existing. Now, obviously, they can retest them, but it may, you know, I don't know how much lead time they need for a set like that, right? Granted, you can make the argument if they put these nerfs in a month ago, that would have given them more time, which is a true statement, but maybe they didn't know what the right thing to do was, and they were not being forthcoming in the way they were communicating. I don't know. But I would say just kind of keep an open mind, try it with the new cards. I think it will probably change more than you think it does. Even if Druid's not getting changed, like maybe Spreading Plague is not as much of an issue if, you know, the aggro decks can go faster and don't have to worry about Giggling Inventor stopping them at 5, right? Then maybe there will be more aggro decks that will be able to keep Druid at bay. Like this, that's why I keep saying this is an ecosystem. It's not just that Druid is super powerful, so it needs to be taken down a peg. It's that, you know, part of the problem is also the Druid has the same 20 cards, and then you just see what is, you know, what the actual deck is by how they kill you. And that's a problem that I think will get solved in rotation. I would expect they're not going to, if they're not addressing it now, they're not going to, and that's going to get solved with rotation in 6 months. But you may need those kinds of decks in order to be able to keep a healthy meta with whatever they're planning. Because it's whatever they're planning is going to be more powerful than this, for sure. So, anyway, that's all I have for you this week. I can't say I'm pulling into the driveway because I'm already in my house. I haven't left. But, you know, thank you as always for listening. You can find the show notes. There's not going to be much this week, but you can find the show notes at offcurve.com. You can follow the show's account at offcurve on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Wicked Good. You can, follow me on Twitch. I'm Wicked Good FM. I just did a stream last night. I played Spiteful Warlock. It's a terrible deck. You shouldn't play it, but I did for you. So you can go catch the VOD of that as well, if you would like. I should be casting some part of Phoenix Cup this weekend, hopefully. So, there may be a couple scheduling things we need to work out, but, anyway, so go catch that, and what else? Leave me a review on iTunes, because those are nice to read, and they make me happy, and they help people find the show, which is, which is good for everybody. It's good for me, it's good for you, it's one way that you can support the show, and I super appreciate it. So, that's all I have for you this week. Thank you, as always, I really appreciate it. I know you have a lot of time, a lot of places you can spend your podcasting time, and I appreciate you taking it and spending it with me, on my drive home from work, or my sitting in on my comfy new gaming chair in my work office, in my home office, when I am not at work. So, thanks as always for listening. Good luck to you and whatever your goals are. Hopefully the new meta treats you a little bit better if you were struggling. Hopefully if you weren't struggling, you can adapt just as quickly. And, be good to each other. I'll talk to you soon. Have a good one.